you've heard of these sorts of practices. Well, sometimes just developing a certain situation, making time for something, opens that door. So, for example, you could say, all right, I'm going to practice opening the doorway to my deceased ancestors by setting up a little something. And you can make a simple ritual by saying, all right, I'm getting a special teapot. When I make tea in this pot and set out these cups and put this on the table, it might be a scarf or something, or maybe you want to work with a game board, or you want to work with a certain crystal, a crystal and a game board. These are all what you call ritual tools. It is not so much that the magic is in the tools. It is that you set the ritual up, which sets the pattern up, which then sets the opportunity up to say, hey, reality, I am really serious about this. I'm going to do it in this way and make this opportunity for the doorway to open. You can play within that capacity. And that would be a bit how some of the older fashioned mediums used to do things with their seances and parlors and things of this nature. But reality is flexible, and reality is vibrant, it is alive. And what we were recently telling our home group in North Carolina was this. We said, you know, in every moment, in every single moment, reality is re-stimulated, refreshed with renewed, viable energy. Every moment. So in a larger sense, nothing is decaying. Everything is being reborn. It may be reborn in a decayed manner, but it is always being refreshed. So what makes the same old things happen? Your perceptions. So when you want something new to happen, you have to literally build something new, make something new, and move your perceptions into new possibilities. Anything else, Renata?
For the moment, that's it. I thank you so very much.
All right. We want to tell you something that really touched our vehicle at one time. You wrote a letter a number of years ago, and it was something about getting in contact with your dad. And he left you. Do you recall this? And he gave you a message, and you passed that message onto our vehicle. And she got the best chuckle out of it. And she felt it made her day for quite a while there. And your dad said that the Pleiadians were right on course and they knew what they were talking about. Do you recall that?
Not at all.
Our vehicle would say that. Yeah, somehow you went to some psychic or something, and the psych or something came through, and that's what the message you passed on, that your father said that the Pleiadians knew what they were doing.
That's wonderful.
Well, our vehicle got touched by it. She thought it was quite a good coup there, considering family lineages and all these things, but nonetheless.
Considering my father, yes.
Yes, considering your father, yes. It was. She got a good chuckle out of it. So anyways, questions, comments?
My name's Allie.
Allie? Yes, welcome.
Thanks. I'm curious, how much does music affect or change our frequency, and are some types more beneficial than others?
Let's say that it is a good question, and music totally molds consciousness. What music does is it helps the body store memory. And what you do is you sort of tack on, and you tack on experiences to music. And because you, in your modern culture, you repeat the same music, and some of it is short music. You know, a long time ago, music evolved, and it was songs, and they were organic, or they were long, and it was not so easy to tack things onto them. Today, everyone knows the song Jingle Bells in the Western world. And if we were to suddenly put on the tape player or something and play Jingle Bells, everyone in this room would have layers and layers of their own personal memories that were completely personal, had nothing to do with anyone else's memories, all around that one song.